walkingly.
I'm not that happy fucking stereotypical drill instructor anymore, am I? You're not in a military comedy anymore, are you? Welcome to the fucking universe. The universe is a fucked up place, my friends, and I'm not talking to you like this because I'm putting on some amusing little drill instructor routine. That man who was sliced and diced was among the best fighting men I have ever had the pleasure of knowing. None of you are his equal, and yet you see what happened to him. Think what will happen to you. I'm talking to you like this because I sincerely believe from the bottom of my heart that if you're the best humanity can do, we are magnificently and totally fucked. Do you believe me?
Some of our number managed to mumble a yes, sir, or something close to it. The rest of us were still replaying the evisceration in our heads without the benefit of the brain pal.
Sir? Sir? I am a fucking master sergeant, you shitheads. I work for a living. You will answer with yes, master sergeant, when you need to answer in the affirmative, and no, master sergeant, when you answer in the negative. Do you understand?
Yes, master sergeant, we replied.
You can do better than that. Say it again.
Yes, master sergeant,
we screamed. Some of us were clearly on the verge of tears by the sound of that last bellow.
For the next 12 weeks, my job is to attempt to train you to be soldiers, and by God, I am going to do it, and I'm going to do it despite the fact that I can already tell that none of you motherfuckers is up to the challenge. I want each of you to think about what I'm saying here. This isn't the old-time Earth military where drill sergeants had to tone up the fat, bulk up the weak, or educate the stupid. Each of you comes with a lifetime of experience and a new body that is in peak physical condition. You would think that would make my job easier. It does not! Each of you has 75 years of bad habits and personal feelings of entitlement that I have to purge in 3 goddamn months. And each of you thinks your new body is some kind of shiny new toy. Yeah, I know what you've been doing for the last week. You've been fucking like rabid monkeys. Guess what? Playtime is over! For the next 12 weeks, you'll be lucky if you have time to jerk off in the shower. Your shiny new toy is going to be put to work, my pretties, because I have to make you into soldiers, and that is going to be a full-time job!
Ruiz resumed his pacing in front of the recruits.
I want to make one thing clear. I do not like, nor will I ever like, any one of you. Why? Because I know that despite the fine work of myself and my staff, you will inevitably make all of us look bad. It pains me. It keeps me awake at night knowing that no matter how much I teach you, you will inevitably fail those who fight with you. The best I can do is make sure that when you go, you don't take your whole fucking platoon down with you. That's right, if you only get yourself killed, I count that as a success. Now, you may think that this is some sort of generalized hatred that I will carry for the lot of you. Let me assure you that this is not the case. Each of you will fail, but you will fail in your own unique way, and therefore I will dislike each of you on an individual basis. Why, even now, each of you has qualities that irritate the living fuck out of me. Do you believe me?
Yes, Master Sergeant.
Bullshit! Some of you are still thinking that I'm just going to hate the other guy.
Ruiz shot out an arm and pointed out towards the plane and the rising sun.
Use your pretty new eyes to focus on that transmission tower out there. You can just barely see it. It is 10 clicks away, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to find something about each of you that will piss me off, and when I do, you will sprint to that fucking tower. If you are not back in an hour, this entire platoon will run it again tomorrow morning. Do you understand?
Yes, Master Sergeant.
I could see people trying to do the math in their heads. He was telling us to run 5-minute miles all the way there and all the way back. I strongly suspected we'd be running it again tomorrow.
Which of you was in the military back on Earth? Step up now,
Ruiz asked. 7 recruits stepped forward.
God damn it,
Ruiz said.
There is nothing I hate more in the entire fucking universe than a veteran recruit. We have to spend extra time and effort on you bastards, making you unlearn every single fucking thing you learned back home. All you sons of bitches had to do was fight humans, and even that you did badly. Oh, yes, we saw that whole subcontinental war of yours. Shit. 6 fucking years to beat an enemy that barely had firearms, and you had to cheat to win. Nukes are for pussies. Pussies! If the CDF fought like the U.S. forces fought, you know where humanity would be today? On an asteroid, scraping algae out the fucking tunnel walls. And which ones of you assholes are Marines?
2 recruits stepped forward.
You fuckers are the worst,
Ruiz said, getting right in their face.
You smug bastards have killed more CDF soldiers than any alien species, doing things that marine fucking way instead of the way they're supposed to be done. You probably had Semper Fi tattoos somewhere in your old body, didn't you? Didn't you?
Yes, Master Sergeant,
they both replied.
You are so fucking lucky they were left behind, because I swear I would have held you down and sliced them off myself. Oh, and you don't think I wouldn't? Well, unlike your precious fucking Marines or any other military branch down there, up here, the drill instructor is God. I could turn your fucking intestines into a sausage pie, and all that would happen to me is they'd tell me to get one of the other recruits to mop up the mess.
Ruiz stepped back to glare at all the veteran recruits.
This is the real military, ladies and gentlemen. You're not in the Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marines now. You're one of us, and every time you forget it, I'm gonna be there to step on your fucking head. Now start running!
They ran.
Who's homosexual?
Ruiz said. 4 recruits stepped forward, including Alan, who was standing next to me. I saw his eyebrows arch as he stepped up.
Some of the finest soldiers in history were homosexual, Ruiz said. Alexander the Great, Richard the Lionhearted. The Spartans had a special platoon of soldiers who were gay lovers on the idea that a man would fight harder to protect his lover than he would for just another soldier. Some of the best fighters I ever knew personally were as queer as a $3 bill. Damn fine soldiers, all of them. But I will tell you the one thing that pisses me off about you all. You pick the wrong fucking moments to get confessional. 3 separate times I've been fighting along a gay man when things have gone sour, and each fucking time he chooses that moment to tell me how he's always loved me. God damn, that's inappropriate. Some alien is trying to suck out my fucking brains, and my squad mate wants to talk about our relationship, as if I wasn't already busy. Do your squad mates a fucking favor. You got the hots, deal with it on leave, not when some creature is trying to rip out your goddamn heart. Now run!
Off they went.
Who's a minority?
10 recruits stepped forward.
Bullshit! Look around you, you assholes. Up here everyone is green. There are no minorities. You want to be in a fucking minority? Fine. There are 20 billion humans in the universe. There are 4 trillion members of other sentient species. And they all want to turn you into a midday snack. And those are only the ones we know about. The first one of you who bitches about being a minority up here will get my green Latino foot squarely up your whiny ass. Move!
They heaved out towards the plane. On it went. Ruiz had specific complaints against Christians, Jews, Muslims, and atheists, government workers, doctors, lawyers, teachers, blue-collar Joes, pet owners, gun owners, practitioners of martial arts, wrestling fans, and, weirdly, both for the fact it bothered him and the fact that there was someone in the platoon who fit the category, clog dancers. In groups, pairs, and singly, recruits were peeled off and forced to run. Eventually, I became aware that Ruiz was looking directly at me. I remained at attention.
I will be goddamned, Ruiz said. One of you shitheads is left.
Yes, Master Sergeant,
I yelled as loudly as I could.
I find it somewhat difficult to believe that you do not fit into any of the categories I have railed against,
Ruiz said.
I suspect that you are attempting to avoid a pleasant morning jog.
No, Master Sergeant,
I bellowed.
I simply refuse to acknowledge that there is not something about you I despise,
Ruiz said.
Where are you from?
Ohio, Master Sergeant.
Ruiz grimaced. Nothing there. Ohio's utter inoffensiveness had finally worked to my advantage.
What did you do for a living, recruit?
I was self-employed, Master Sergeant.
As what?
I was a writer, Master Sergeant.
Ruiz's feral grin was back. Obviously, he had it in for those who worked with words.
Tell me you wrote fiction, recruit, he said. I have a bone to pick with novelists.
No, Master Sergeant.
Christ, man, what did you write?
I wrote advertising copy, Master Sergeant.
Advertising? What sort of dumbass things did you advertise?
My most famous advertising work involved Willy Wheelie, Master Sergeant.
Willy Wheelie had been the mascot for Nirvana Tires, who made tires for specialty vehicles. I had developed the basic idea and his tagline. The company's graphic artists took it from there. Willy Wheelie's arrival coincided with the revival of motorcycles. The fad lasted for several years, and Willie made a fair amount of money for Nirvana, both as an advertising mascot and through licensing for plush toys, t-shirts, shot glasses, and so on. A children's entertainment show was planned, but nothing came of it. It was a silly thing, but on the other hand, Willie's success meant I never ran out of clients. It worked out pretty well. Until this very moment, it seemed. Ruiz suddenly lunged forward directly into my face and bellowed,
"You are the mastermind behind Willy Wheelie, recruit?"
"Yes, Master Sergeant."
There was a perverse pleasure in screaming at someone whose face was just millimeters away from your own. Ruiz hovered in my face for a few seconds, scanning it with his eyes, daring me to flinch. He actually snarled. Then he stepped back and began to unbutton his shirt. I remained at attention, but suddenly I was very, very scared. He whipped off his shirt, turned his right shoulder to me, and stepped forward again.
"Recruit, tell me what you see on my shoulder."
I glanced down and thought, no fucking way.
"It is a tattoo of Willy Wheelie, Master Sergeant."
"Goddamn right," snapped Ruiz. "I'm gonna tell you a story, recruit. Back on Earth, I was married to an evil, vicious woman, a veritable pit viper. Such was her hold on me that even though being married to her was a slow death by paper cuts, I still felt suicidal when she demanded a divorce. At my lowest moment, I stood at a bus stand, contemplating hurling myself in front of the next bus that came along. Then I looked over and saw an advertisement with Willy Wheelie in it, and do you know what it said?"
"Sometimes you just gotta hit the road, Master Sergeant."
That tagline had taken me all of 15 seconds to write. What a world.
"Exactly,"
he said.
And as I stared at that ad, I had what some would call a moment of clarity. I knew that what I needed was to just hit the fucking road. I divorced the evil slug of a wife, sang a song of thanks, packed my belongings into a saddlebag, and lit out. Ever since that blessed day, Willy Wheelie has been my avatar, the symbol of my desire for personal freedom and expression. He saved my life, recruit, and I am forever grateful.
"You're welcome, Master Sergeant,"
I bellowed.
"Recruit, I am honored that I have had a chance to meet you. You are additionally the first recruit in the history of my tenure that I have not found immediate grounds to despise. I cannot tell you how much that disturbs and unnerves me. However, I bask in the almost certain knowledge that soon, possibly within the next few hours, you will undoubtedly do something to piss me off. To assure that you do, in fact, I assign to you the role of platoon leader. It is a thankless fucking job that has no upside, since you have to ride these sad-ass recruits twice as hard as I do, because for every one of the numerous fuck-ups that they perform, you will also share the blame. They will hate you, despise you, plot your downfall, and I will be there to give you an extra ration of shit when they succeed. What do you think about that, recruit? Speak freely."
"It sounds like I'm pretty fucked, Master Sergeant,"
I yelled.
"That you are, recruit,"
Ruiz said.
"But you were fucked the moment you landed in my platoon. Now get running. Can't have the leader not run with his tune. Move!"
"I don't know whether to congratulate you or be scared for you," Alan said to me as we headed towards the mess hall for breakfast.
"You can do both,"
I said. "Although it probably makes more sense to be scared. I am. Ah, there they are." I pointed to a group of 5 recruits, 3 men, 2 women, who were milling about in front of the mess hall. Earlier in the day, as I was heading towards the communication tower on my run, my brain pal almost caused me to collide with a tree by flashing a text message directly into my field of view. I managed to swerve, merely clipping a shoulder, and told Asshole to switch to voice navigation before I got myself killed. Asshole complied and started the message over.
Master Sergeant Antonio Ruiz's appointment of John Perry as leader of the 63rd Training Platoon has been processed. Congratulations on your advancement. You now have access to personnel files and BrainPal information relating to recruits within the 63rd Training Platoon. Be aware that this information is for official use only. Access for non-military use is cause for immediate termination of platoon leader position and a court-martial trial at the base commander's discretion.
Swell, I said, leaping a small gully.
You will need to present Master Sergeant Ruiz with your selections for squad leaders by the end of your platoon's breakfast period. Asshole continued. Would you like to review your platoon files to aid in your selection process?
I would. I did. Asshole spewed out details at high speed on each recruit as I ran. By the time I made it to the comm tower, I had narrowed the list to 20 candidates. By the time I was nearing the base, I had parceled out the entire platoon among squad leaders and sent mail to each of the 5 new squad leaders to meet me at the mess hall. That brain pal was certainly beginning to come in handy. I also noted that I managed to make it back to base in 55 minutes, and I hadn't passed any other recruits on the way back. I consulted Asshole and discovered that the slowest of the recruits, one of the former Marines, ironically, had clocked in at 58 minutes 13 seconds. We wouldn't be running to the comm tower tomorrow, or at least not because we were slow. I didn't doubt Sergeant Ruiz's ability to find another excuse, however. I was just hoping not to be the one to give it to him. The 5 recruits saw me and Alan coming and snapped, more or less, to attention. 3 of them saluted immediately, followed somewhat sheepishly by the other 2. I saluted back and smiled.
Don't fret it, I said to the 2 who lagged. This is new to me, too. Come on, let's get in line and talk while we eat.
Do you want me to light out? Alan asked me while we were in line. You've probably got a lot to cover with these guys.
No, I said. I'd like you there. I want your opinion on these guys. Also, I have news for you. You're my 2nd in command in our own squad. And since I've got a whole platoon to babysit, that means you're really going to be in charge of it. Hope you don't mind.
I can handle it, Alan said, smiling.
Thanks for putting me in your squad. Hey, I said. What's the point of being in charge if you can't indulge in pointless favoritism, Besides, when I go down, you'll be there to cushion my fall.
That's me, Alan said. Your military career airbag.
The mess hall was packed, but the 7 of us managed to commandeer a table.
Introductions, I said. Let's know each other's names. I'm John Perry, and for the moment at least, I'm platoon leader. This is my squad's 2nd-in-command, Alan Rosenthal.
Angela Merchant, said the woman immediately across from me, of Trenton, New Jersey.
Terry Duncan, said the fellow next to her. Missoula, Montana.
Mark Jackson, St. Louis.
Sarah O'Connell, Boston.
Martin Garabedian, sunny Fresno, California.
Well, aren't we geographically diverse, I said.
That got a chuckle, which was good.
I'll be quick about this, since if I spend any amount of time on this, it'll be clear that I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. Basically, you 5 got chosen because there's something in your history that suggests that you'd be able to handle being a squad leader. I chose Angela because she was a CEO. Terry ran a cattle ranch. Mark was a colonel in the Army, and with all respect to Sergeant Ruiz, I actually do think that's an advantage.
Well, that's nice to hear, Mark said.
Martin was on the Fresno City Council, and Sarah here taught kindergarten for 30 years, which automatically makes her the most qualified of all of us.
Another laugh. Man, I was on a roll.
I'm going to be honest, I said. I'm not planning to be a hard ass on you. Sergeant Ruiz has got that job covered, and I'd just be a pale imitation. It's not my style. I don't know what your command style will be, but I want you to do what you need to do to keep on top of your recruits and to get them through the next 3 months. I don't really care about being platoon leader, but I think I care very much about making sure every recruit in this platoon has the skills and training they're going to need to survive out there. Ruiz's little home movie got my attention, and I hope it got yours.
Crass, did it ever, Terry said.
They dressed that poor bastard out like he was beef.
I wish they had shown us that before we signed up, Angela said. I might have decided to stay old.
It's war, Mark said. It's what happens. Let's just do what we can to make sure our guys make it through things like that, I said. Now, I've cut the platoon into 6 squads of 10. I'm top of A squad. Angela, you have B, Terry C, Mark D, Sarah E, and Martin F. I've given you permissions to examine your recruit files with your brain pal. Choose your second in command and send me the details by lunch today. Between the two of you, keep discipline and training going smoothly. From my point of view, my whole reason for selecting you folks is so I don't have anything to do.
Except run your own squad, Martin said.
That's where I come in, Alan said.
Let's meet every day at lunch, I said. We'll take other meals with our squads. If you have something that needs my attention, of course contact me immediately. But I do expect you to attempt to solve as many problems as you can by yourself. Like I said, I'm not planning on having a hard-ass style, but for better or worse, I am platoon leader, so what I say goes. If I feel you're not measuring up, I'm going to let you know first, and then if that doesn't work, I'm going to replace you. It's not personal, it's making sure we all get the training we need to live out here. Everyone good with that?
Nods all around.
Excellent, I said, and held up my tumbler. Then let's toast to the 63rd Training Platoon. Here's to making it through in one piece.
We clunked our tumblers together and then got to eating and chatting. Things were looking up, I thought. It didn't take long to change that opinion.
Chapter 8. The day on Beta Pyxis is 22 hours, 13 minutes, and 24 seconds long. We got 2 of those hours to sleep. I discovered this charming fact on our first night, when Asshole blasted me with a piercing siren that jolted me awake so quickly I fell out of my bunk, which was, of course, the top bunk. After checking to make sure my nose wasn't broken, I read the text floating in my skull. Platoon Leader Perry, this is to inform you that you have... And here there was a number, at that second being 1 minute and 48 seconds, and counting down, until Master Sergeant Ruiz and his assistants enter your barracks. You are expected to have your platoon awake and at attention when they enter. Any recruits not at attention will be disciplined and noted against your record. I immediately forwarded the message to my squad leaders through the communication grouping I had created for them the day before, sent a general alarm signal to the platoon's brain pals, and hit the barrack lights. There were a few amusing seconds as every recruit in the platoon jerked awake to a blast of noise that only he or she could hear. Most leapt out of bed, deeply disoriented. I and the squad leaders grabbed the ones still lying down and yanked them out onto the floor. Within a minute, we had everyone up and at attention, and the remaining few seconds were spent convincing a few particularly slow recruits that now was not the time to pee or dress or do anything but stand there and not piss off Ruiz when he came through the door. Not that it mattered.
"For fuck's sake!" Ruiz declared. "Perry! Yes, Master Sergeant. What the hell were you doing for your 2-minute warning? Jerking off? Your platoon is unready. They are not dressed for the exertions to which they will soon be tasked. What is your excuse?" "Master Sergeant, the message stated that the platoon was required to be at attention when you and your staff arrived. It did not specify the need to dress." "Christ, Perry, don't you assume that being dressed is prior to being at attention?" "I would not presume to assume, Master Sergeant." "Presume to assume? Are you being a smart-ass, Perry?" "No, Master Sergeant." "Well, presume to get your platoon out to the parade ground, Perry. You have 45 seconds. Move!" "A squad," I bellowed, and ran at the same time, hoping to God my squad was following directly behind me. As I went through the door, I heard Angela hollering at B squad to follow her. I had chosen her well. We made it to the parade grounds, my squad forming in a line directly behind me. Angela formed her line directly to my right, with Terry and the rest forming subsequently. The last man of F squad formed up at the 44-second mark. Amazing!
Around the parade grounds, other recruit platoons were also forming up, also in the same state of undress as the 63rd. I felt briefly relieved. Ruiz strolled up momentarily, trailed by his two assistants.
Perry, what is the time?
I accessed my brain pal.
Oh, 100 local time, Master Sergeant. Outstanding, Perry. You can tell time. What time was lights out? 2100, Master Sergeant. Correct again. Now some of you may be wondering why we're getting you up and running on 2 hours of sleep. Are we cruel, sadistic, trying to break you down? Yes, we are. But these are not the reasons we have awakened you. The reason is simply this. You don't need any more sleep. Thanks to these pretty new bodies of yours, you get all the sleep you need in 2 hours. You've been sleeping 8 hours a night because that's what you're used to. No longer, ladies and gentlemen. All that sleep is wasting my time. 2 hours is all you need, so from now on, 2 hours is all you will get. Now then, who can tell me why I had you run those 20 clicks in an hour yesterday?
One recruit raised his hand.
Yes, Thompson,
Ruiz said. Either he had memorized the names of every platoon recruit, or he had his brain pal on, providing him the information. I wouldn't hazard a guess as to which it was.
Master Sergeant, you had us run because you hate each of us on an individual basis.
Excellent response, Thompson. However, you were only partially correct. I had you run 20 clicks in an hour because you can. Even the slowest of you finished the run 2 minutes under the cutoff time. That means that without training, without even a hint of real effort, every single one of you bastards can keep pace with Olympic gold medalists back on Earth. And you know why that is, do you? It's because none of you is human anymore. You're better. You just don't know it yet. Shit, you spent a week bouncing off the walls of a spaceship like little wind-up toys, and you probably still don't understand what you're made of. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to change. The first week of your training is all about making you believe, and you will believe. You're not going to have a choice.
And then we ran 20 miles in our underwear. 20-mile runs, 7-second 100-meter sprints, 6-foot vertical jumps, leaping across 10-meter holes in the ground, lifting 200 kilos of free weights, hundreds upon hundreds of sit-ups, chin-ups, push-ups. As Ruiz said, the hard part was not doing these things. The hard part was believing they could be done. Recruits were falling and failing at every step of the way for what's best described as a lack of nerve. Ruiz and his assistants would fall on these recruits and scare them into performing, and then have me do push-ups because I or my squad leaders clearly hadn't scared them enough. Every recruit, had his or her moment of doubt. Mine came on the 4th day, when the 63rd platoon arrayed itself around the base swimming pool, each recruit holding a 25-kilo sack of sand in his or her arms.
What is the weak point of the human body?
Ruiz asked as he circled around our platoon.
It's not the heart, or the brain, or the feet, or anywhere you think it is. I'll tell you where it is. It's the blood. And that's bad news because your blood is everywhere in your body. It carries oxygen, but it also carries disease. When you're wounded, blood clots, but often not fast enough to keep you from dying of blood loss. Although when it comes down to it, what everyone really dies of is oxygen deprivation. From blood being unavailable because it's spewed out on the fucking ground where it doesn't do you a goddamn bit of good. The Colonial Defense Force, in its divine wisdom, has given human blood the boot. It's been replaced by smart blood. Smart blood is made up of billions of nano-sized bots that do everything the blood did but better. It's not organic, so it's not vulnerable to biological threats. It speaks to your brain pal to claw in milliseconds. You could lose your fucking leg and you wouldn't bleed out. Most importantly to you right now, each cell of smart blood has 4 times the oxygen-carrying capacity of your natural red blood cells.
Ruiz stopped walking.
This is important to each of you right now because you're all about to jump into the pool with your sacks of sand. You will sink to the bottom, and you will stay there for no less than 6 minutes. 6 minutes is enough to kill your average human, but each of you can stay down for that long and not lose a single brain cell. to give you incentive to stay down. The first of you that comes up gets latrine duty for a week. And if that recruit comes up before the 6 minutes are up, well, let's just say that each of you is going to develop a close-up and personal relationship with a shithole somewhere on this base. Got it? Then in you go.
We dove, and as promised, sank straight down to the bottom, 3 meters down. I began to freak out almost immediately. When I was a child, I fell into a covered pool, tore through the cover, and spent several disoriented and terrified minutes trying to break through to the surface. It wasn't long enough for me to actually begin to drown. It was just long enough for me to develop a lifelong aversion to having my head completely enveloped by water. After about 30 seconds, I began to feel like I needed a big, fresh gulp of air. There was no way I was going to last a minute, much less 6. I felt a tug. I turned a little wildly and saw that Alan, who had dived in next to me, had reached over. Through the murk, I could see him tap his head and then point to mine. At that